Ecclesiastes 11. Thank you, Sister Dunn, for the message and song. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. Thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Cloud be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest what is the way of the Spirit, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Father, I pray, God, that you bless now the preaching of that word. You cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with the Spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ and use this message for thy glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I told you a couple weeks ago that the word Ecclesiastes means proclaimed thought. The words, the truth, the preaching of the preacher. In this instance, Solomon is the preacher. He is coming from a vantage point that is unique in and of itself. He begins to let us in, if you would, pretty deep on why he is so adamant about the things he says and the things he believes. Some people preach things to you with little or no experience. In other words, they tell you why you should be doing something, but in and of themselves, personally, they A, either have never done it, or B, have never done it with any kind of challenge. Solomon is proclaiming a thought. He is sharing with us truth. He is preaching to us a sermon in the book of Ecclesiastes, having been on the other side. I'm not talking about vulgarity. I'm not talking about crime. I'm not talking about some criminal background. I'm simply saying he's speaking from the standpoint of, is there anything in life worth living for? Is life worth living? Is anything under the sun of any reasonable value? He came to the conclusion it all was vain. Life was monotonous. Wisdom was vain. Wealth was futile. And death was certain. Let me say those again. Life was monotonous. And it just means blah. Life seems to be an ongoing, repetitious, over and over cycle of blah, boredom, no excitement, no fulfillment, vanity, emptiness, nothingness, soap bubbles, uselessness. Man's wisdom is vanity. In other words, everything that man can try to do in his own mind will all come to naught. Wealth in and of itself is futile. Is my mic not on? Grab a promise? Okay. Wealth in and of itself is futile. In other words, money won't get you anywhere by itself. Death is certain. When Solomon was looking at it through the flesh, when he was viewing it in his own mind, when Solomon the king, Solomon the wise man, Solomon the wealthy man, Solomon who had all the wine, all the women, all the fun, all the gold, all the treasure at his disposal, at his fingertips, servants upon servants upon servants upon servants, with no threat of ever losing all of his possessions. When he looked at life through his own eyes, he said, it's vain, it's pointless. There is nothing in life that is worth living for. And then he walked on the other side of it and said, now let me put God in the equation. And this life that seems monotonous has a lot of life to it when God's at the center. The wisdom of man will always fail you, but the only wise God will always sustain you. Wealth is pointless unless it's given by God and then used for God's word. And death is certain. So therefore, I must intensify my efforts to bring God glory so that when death comes, I'm not cut short on what God placed me here to do. He awakened. His whole mindset changed. By the way, the Bible is full of mindset changes. Those that lived in the Bible and lived for God were those who in and of themselves looked at life one way, but with God looked at life altogether. And it is amazing how radically different man's perspective is alone as opposed to with God. Do you believe that? Listen, this is not the message tonight, but write it down. God is in the mindset changing business. And there are some Christians in here tonight that before we ever get to Ecclesiastes 11, need to at least be willing to step into the possibility of considering that maybe the way I view life is not right. Maybe the way I view money is not right. Maybe the way I view wisdom is not right. Maybe the way I view the monotony of life is not right. Maybe the way I look at death as some horrible, imminent beast waiting to capture me in his clutches, as opposed to death being the motivator for the child of God to do what he does for Jesus right now. It's a mindset change. And he got to all of this as he discovered all his vanity, all his vanity, all his vanity, all his vanity. It is all vanity without God. But with God, it's not vanity. It's fulfilling. So he got to chapter 12 after he sequenced himself through all of this truth, all his proclaimed thought, all his preaching, all of these messages. And he got to chapter 12. And in essence, as we began a couple weeks ago, he came to the conclusion, not only is life not vain and full with God, but the fullness of life that I receive from God is meant to be shared with others. Are you following, Solomon? Find yourself on the timeline. Where are you tonight? Back here? Complaining about how empty your life is? Let's get up and do the same thing every day. 5 days a week, I go to this job I can't stand. Come over to this marriage I can't stand. Raise these kids, get on my nerves. Drive this car, almost broke down. Pay this mortgage I can't afford. Balance this checkbook that won't balance. Monotony. I can't tell how many Christians talk like that. Or different words, different, their vocabulary is diversified. But at the end of the day, they're basically saying, life is monotonous. Here they are. I don't even see what's the use. You know why people quit church? Not because there's nothing at church, but because from their perspective, there's nothing at church. If it was nothing there, the rest of us that are here wouldn't be still coming. Okay, so there's something here. People getting saved. There's something here. Young people giving their life to God. Something here. Men surrendering to preach. There's something here. Okay, there are folks getting ministered to by the choir. There's something here. You don't go to the altar. Ain't nothing in the preaching. Listen, there are people at the altar. There's something in the preaching. But from where you're standing, you can't see it because it is you without God. And you without God always renders the wrong perspective. Somebody tonight, if you don't get anything by the end of the message, if you'll never invest anything in anybody else in your life, at least start with this. I am not going to continue my life looking at it through my way. Tonight, I'm going to change my mindset. Get God involved in the equation, and instead of saying life is of no use in myself, I begin to realize life has a lot to offer with God at the center. It's a change of mindset. You'll be old and decrepit, looking back, saying to yourself, what do I have to show for it? If you don't get God in there, take it from Solomon. And by the way, don't let the devil fool you. If you just get the next best thing, you get the next best job, and you get that car, you get that house, you get that raise, you get that healing, you get everything else you ever wanted for. Once you finally live your dream, listen to me, you say dreams make people happy, not if they're the ones came up with them. Just because you were 6 years old and you said you were going to be this, and you get there and go, this is what I dreamed about. Why is it that a six-year-old that dreamed about being a doctor or a lawyer gets to be a doctor and unfulfilled, and another five-year-old that dreamed about being a ball player and never made it to the NBA but standing holding an offering plate on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or Wednesday night, or riding on a bus ride or working in a jail ministry or preaching at a homeless shelter or teaching a Sunday school class or keeping kids in the nursery or by the grace of God learn the Romans roll? Why is it that the guy making $100,000 living a dream is unhappy, and the guy that's doing something he couldn't even see in his old jacked up house at six has now walked in the destiny and the providence of Almighty God, and somebody's smiling trying to pay their bills while somebody's got more money they can do with anything, and they're still miserable and unhappy? Tell you why, dreams fulfilled don't make you happy unless God was the one that gave the dream in the first place. If life is full, then it is. Who are you sharing it with? Who are you pouring your life into? Pouring our lives into the lives of others. There's a thought. Novel one for many, but a good one. It makes you think. By the way, as a pastor, I always want to preach messages that make our people think. You should never come to church because you want to. It's because psychologically you want a day off. Pastor, your messages make me think. We're good. We're good. Because if you don't think, you'll be an easy target for the devil. By the way, this book is so immaculately devised and schemed. This book is an opening and a revealing of the mind of God. Amen. And there's no way you, human flesh, finite in your mind, are going to be able to perceive the very oracles of God. There's no way you can inhale the breath that God exhaled by way of the written scriptures unless you are willing to engage in thinking. With the help of the Holy Ghost, we got a lot of lazy, non-thinking Christians. They don't like to read their Bible because it makes them think. They don't like to come to churches, it makes them think. They'd rather go to a church to where they can perform and party and get down and leave just as dull and dumbfounded as they were when they came. Well, I would like to tickle your fancy. I would like to challenge your psyche. I would like to get you engaged in intense soul searching, personal inventory, and say, the depth of the scripture should challenge me where I am spiritually, and it should make me brainstorm. And when I leave this church, I should be so stricken in my mind and smitten in my heart and pricked in my soul that the ride home has me going, what did he say to me that I can change? Cast that bread upon the water. bread in the Bible is used by way of necessities of life. Cast. Personal responsibility is where we began a couple weeks ago. If I'm going to pour my life into people, it's my responsibility. It's up to you to do something with somebody. Can I tell you, nobody can make you care? Personal interest. By the way, the grammarians will tell you, Amanda, you'll appreciate this. The subject of Ecclesiastes 11:1 is what we call understood you. You diagram it in parentheses. And it's understood because it's not actually in the sentence. It doesn't read, you cast your bread upon the water. But grammatically, we understand that the sentence is talking to you. When a sentence begins with action, it's telling you to do it. So we're not adding to Scripture if we read this passage of Scripture grammatically by saying, you cast your bread upon the water. You know what that means? That means when you open Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1, God intends for you to understand he's talking to you, both grammatically and theologically. Cast thy bread. God is saying, I would like you to give that which keeps you living to someone else and help them live. Interest, involvement, and investment. So how'd you get through this week? Have you survived your Christian life? What in the world has sustained your marriage? What has managed to see your children raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? I'm asking you, what biblical principles, spiritual insight, has the Holy Spirit exposed you to that has enhanced your Christian life immensely? What blessings has God allowed you to walk in on that could have only come from him? When you come up with that big list, which is going to take you years to compile, but on your way, as you're adding items to the list one by one, which immediately many of them should have flashed through your mind just when I said it. Listen, if I ever ask you to name your blessings, you should be pushing people to get to the front of the line because you got so many you're just trying to spit out. If you don't, you're standing over there instead of over there. We all have blessings. It's just where we're looking at them from. Some of the things we call curses are blessings. And some of the things we call blessings are curses. And if God would give us insight to get rid of the curses and have more appreciation for the blessings, we might be better Christians. So when you start ascertaining in your mind all these blessings, man, good gracious, a lot. You ever like me, I start thinking about the blessings of God. I get to about 3 or 4 or 5. Good night. God gave that to me. And after you start going, wow, look at the blessings. I'm asking you, who are you sharing them with? Cast thy bread. It'd be important tonight to identify what our bread is. It's that which we need to survive. How many of you could say there are passages of Scripture that if God had given them to me in that very hour, I wouldn't have made it? I'm asking, who have you given them to? Comfort others with the comfort wherewith ye have been comforted. Boy, God came for me when I lost, came through for me when I lost my mom, when I lost my dad, when I lost this, when I lost that. Well, when you hear about somebody else losing it, have you cast your bread? Oh, Pastor, you're reading into the context. No, I'm reading the context. Cast thy bread. Well, you say it's coming from someone that had a lot of bread. That's not the point. The issue is not how much bread you have. The issue is how much bread you're casting. Amen. You figure out what you have. I can't tell you it's a sin not to have this much bread or it's a sin to have too much bread, but I can tell you it's a sin not to be sharing it. Amen. Amen. I'm simply saying if your Christianity has been built and edified on sound Bible teaching and you are not a sound Bible teacher, you're sinning. It may not be formally in a classroom, but it better be practically to somebody. Somebody cared enough about you to save you from madness. Amen. Some of you are here today because a well-intentioned church member for bread to you. Against the counsel of the brethren. Somebody fooled with you when other church members said they might just stay away from you. Amen. Some guy picked you up on a bus, visited you, discipled your old stiff-necked self. Amen. Now, where's your stiff-necked disciple? You know what I'm finding out? We don't like to minister to people who are like we were. Ew. Look in the mirror. You were ill once. And in many respects, you're more ill now. You know what I'm saying? Were it not for the grace of God, whatever's good looking on you is the image of Christ shining through you, shining over you. Our lives, Colossians, are hid in him. Christ is our life. The goodness in me is Jesus shining through me. He said, I'm the light of the world. No, I am a reflector, amen, not a producer. Ain't no light coming out of me. It's Jesus' light bouncing off of me. And if it's Christ's light, it will always cause others to glorify my Father, which is in heaven, Matthew chapter 5. Interest, involvement, investment. Capital. I'd like to know how many of our church members are actively engaged in spending cash money to help somebody's life. Cash money. Time. Talent. You have a talent? You have a talent. How much of your talent has been vested in the lives of people? Can you teach? Can you sing? Can you build? Can you clean? Can you supervise? Can you organize? Can you delegate? Can you repair? Can you write letters? Can you answer phone? Can you soul win? Pass a fly. Have I hit anything that you're capable of? How much that you're capable of are you doing? How successful would Crossroads be if every member were like you? Cast that bread. It's a personal responsibility. You understood you. Cast that bread. It's a precious, notice the precious recipients upon the waters. The waters is in scriptures is used for masses of people. The precious recipients. I thought about calling it the populated regions. What kind of waters? Desperate waters. What kind of waters? Diverse waters. What kind of waters? Doomed waters. What kind of waters? Desirous waters. Issue? Seven days a week? Eight, if there were that many? Shame for me, I'm looking at church members right here. I wouldn't dare call your name. But your Christianity is publicly displayed, so it didn't take much for me to detect it. You used to be this, and you're this all the time. All the time. You're always looking out the window to see whose bread you can catch. And you used to be like this. Cast our bread upon the waters. The picture here is someone sending his supplies on a ship to leave dock. It's the tradesman who's placing his valuable cargo on the ship out to the foreign lands, the waters, in that aspect. And later on in the chapter, the farmer. The merchant and the farmer. All of you entrepreneurs in the house. You can't make money if you don't spend money. Now, how in the world are we going to abandon that philosophy when it comes to reaching people. Let me put it another way for all you weightlifters. No pain, no gain. One guy said, no pain, no gain. If you gain without pain, then somebody else had pain without gain, and you're picking up on theirs. But gain was never produced without pain.
Say, I got it, and they didn't work for it. That's because somebody else worked for it and didn't get it.
You come across those Baptist church, and you just sit on the pew, and you think, man, I'm just freely the recipient of these things. Not freely, free to you. Somebody's working. Something you robbed God, somebody's died. This church growing, somebody's soul in. It's because you won't sing, it's 50 other folks that will. Gain is always a result of pain. And all labor that's profit, 14:23 of Proverbs. The talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Laziness yields poverty. Labor always yields profit. Talk is cheap. That's Proverbs 14:23 in 2013. Vernacular. Talk is cheap. Precious recipients. Thirdly, I'll finish up 3 and 4. Write down, if you would, particular requirements. If the merchant is going to load up his goods, his trades, his valuables on the ship. Here's the idea. My people are going to take it on the boat to the land. They're going to trade it properly and bring me back an increase. That's the world of merchants. The farmer says, I'm going to sow the seed and I know I'm going to reap the harvest. Well, if that's going to happen, let me give you several quick things. That investment must be freely. That investment must be done faithfully. That investment must be done frequently. That investment must be done fervently. And for a disclaimer, it cannot be done frivolously. That is silly. Immaturely. Freely. Can I demonstrate 2? Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. It's a principle in the scripture that have to say, after you sent 7 ships out, there's an 8th one. Go ahead and send him out too. Here's what he's saying. Don't let the seeming lack of success with 7 stop you from investing in the 8th. This is what he said. Give the 7. Well, I ain't giving that. The last 7 young Christians I worked with all quit. God said, find your 8th one. That's what he's saying. Give a portion of 7, give a portion of 8. All 7. And there's an 8, there's a 9. And there's a 9, there's a 10. That's the allegory that's intended from this type of a statement in the scripture. Give a portion of 7. Oh, you need some too? Oh, yeah. Oh, and you need some. Oh, somebody else coming to church with me? Oh, yeah, you need some too. That's what he's saying. He's saying, freely give. Frequently give. Faithfully give. Oh, what do you mean by faithfully give? I don't mean just consistently. I mean faithfully. This is what the word says. Full of faith. Here's what it is. In every business transaction, whether it be with things or with people, it requires trust factor. Amen. I've been working on this proposal. I'm going to send this proposal in. You don't know what they're going to do. But you'd be a fool just to sit back and never send anything. That last proposal I sent, ain't nobody responding back to me. That's all right. Send a note. Now, doesn't that make sense? Now, this is what Solomon says is the mindset that you and I must embrace when it comes to people.
Now, you can't trust nobody. you pour your life into these people, they will use you and abandon you and take advantage of you. So, welcome to the Jesus Club. You ever heard of Simon Peter's denial? Judas's betrayal? James and John falling asleep with their man Peter? All of them abandoning him? You ever heard of Paul? Demas had forsaken him? Huh? John Mark went back home? Only Luke is with me. Paul shows up in Acts chapter 16. There's Timotheus. I ain't fooling with Timotheus. Why? Because them last jokers messed it up for him. Aren't you glad that your discipler didn't quit the last time he got betrayed before he met you? I wish somebody would say amen. Cast out breaker. Faithful. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. Farmer gets up in the morning. I don't think it's going to rain. I'll have to throw any seed. Looks like the best way I can tell by the cloud, doesn't look like a great day for farming. Could I tell you the farmer's got to get up and sow anyway? You know why? Because I can sow, but I can't make it rain. So here's something you need to understand. Learn in life to do what you can and let God do what he can. I can't make the rain come down, but I can make sure that when it does, I have sown some seed. Freely. Well, if the tree falls, what you going to do about it? Well, if it lands, what am I going to do? Get out the way. Make sure it doesn't land on me. But if it falls, let it fall where it falls. Why? I can't tell trees where to fall. Well, what if the boat sinks with all my goods on it? Then it's sunk. But what if it sails and you didn't put any goods on it? Then you sink. Amen. You get to heaven and find out nobody ever took advantage of you. Well, big whoop-de-doo. There'll be a heavenly chocolate chip cookie waiting for you. But after you rejoice over all of the things that nobody cheated you out of, you will then mourn over all of the people who actually would have got involved if you cared. Yes, I bread. There's a lot in here. You don't know the spirit. You don't know how the bones grow. You can't predict childbirth. You don't know what's going on in the womb. You can't see it. That's God's business. If you can't predict what happens when a child grows because it's up to God, you can't predict the work that God's going to do on somebody you invest in. Listen, if you're not amening me, I'm going to assume it's because you're thinking. Because you and I need to visit this area. I mean, for a while. I'm going to take our shoes off and cancel some other appointments. And let's just stop at Ecclesiastes 11 and find out if our pew has empty spots because people just aren't into Jesus today, or if it has empty spots because we're not into people today. Promising results, and I'm going to stop. Personal responsibility, precious recipients, particular requirements, promise, results, reproduction, reaping, realization, and lastly, return. Kind produces kind. Did you hear that? Lions don't give birth to elephants. And roaches don't produce frogs. And lost people don't produce Christians.
And dead Christians don't produce passionate believers. Kind produces kind. You say, Pastor, I don't believe in reproduction. Just look at all of the people that you're influencing. And you'll believe in it. They're just as apathetic as you are. You're influencing them by your action or by your inaction. By doing nothing, you're influencing them to do nothing. And by doing something, you're influencing them to do something. And something ain't always right if that something ain't right. You're influencing. There's a realization. I begin to realize that the work of God is worth my investment. The last time you've been on visitation. Last time you passed on the gospel church. Last time you took somebody to your favorite restaurant. Not the one you can't stand. Last time you gave somebody a gift that you'd like to see. The last time you bought something for somebody from the store to be a blessing to them that you actually would have bought yourself. When last time you gave somebody a gift you actually bought and not one you received that you didn't like. You didn't want it. What makes you think someone else? I'm not talking about taste different. Some people give you something that you know someone else would like. Some people gave you something wouldn't nobody like. Not even the one that gave it to you. That's why they gave it to you. Because somebody gave it to them and they ain't want it. You just keep on passing along. Before long, it's going to get back to the originator. Here you go. I gave this to what's name one time. Yeah, well, it done passed all the way around. Hot potato. Return. Write that down. This is where I'll end. Return. Return. The most passionate part of Ecclesiastes 11:1 for me. I can't speak for you. The most passionate, emotionally eliciting part of Ecclesiastes 11 for me personally is the end of verse 1. Thou shalt find it after many days. You haven't heard anything I say tonight. Hear this. It's coming back. It's coming back. It might be a while, but it's coming back. Your investment's coming back. You've never lost any money in the work of God. You've never lost time. Oh, I just wasted my time doing that for God. You can't waste anything doing it for God. I shall find it. Are you willing to wait a while before the ships come home? Can you wait on God's sunshine, wait on God's rain? Will you keep checking the field even if the last several months you haven't seen anything growing? Will you keep sowing if you see no fruit? Will you keep throwing if you see no germinate? Will you work on soil that's fallow? Living on a hard head. Investing in a slowpoke. Preaching at an obstinate one. Praying for a rebellious one. Speaking to a rude one. Why? You're going to find your bread sooner or later. Pastor, I don't believe you. Try me. It comes back. But let me tell you this. But Pastor, I'm not sure if it's coming back. Let me help you if you're one of these people that only like sure deals.
Here's a sure one for you. You don't throw nothing, you won't find it. Since you want a sure one, I can give you that one. If you put nothing on the boat, nothing will be coming back to you. Nothing went in the pot. You can't reach and take anything out. Now, I'll be honest with you. I pastored this church, and it's a dream come true for me that God gave me. The thrill of my week is standing before my people preaching the word of God. There's no place I'd rather preach in on planet Earth, Crossroads Baptist Church. I love preaching. I love preaching to you. I love preaching. Some people sleep in my feet. I like preaching to sleep. It's a challenge for me. I love what God's doing in this church. I love it. But you know what? You know what invigorates a general thrill and makes it more personal? When I scan the crowd and I see somebody sitting somewhere that I had a part in that life. I'm not just talking about from my corporate preaching, and thank God for it. If the preaching of your pastor doesn't help you, you change churches. Amen. It ought to help you. You ought to be on the man that can help you preach. Corporate, but I'm talking about personally. I enjoy walking through the building because I had a part in it. Physically, monetarily, spiritually. I prayed for it, gave to it. It was over there. That's invigorating for me. It's fulfilling. Thou shalt find. Yeah. Beware of the peanut gallery on the side. You gonna put that stuff on that boat? You gonna throw that seed on that soil? You gonna work with that man? You gonna join that ministry? So what's your success rate? That's what they'll say. What's your success rate? How many people and got saved in the prisons, came to church and stayed? Who cares? Do it till somebody does. Hell, you're going to keep going down that homeless shelter? Hartwell and gang? What's your success? How many people has that shelter produced? Who cares? If it gets one, it's worth it. Working in that youth ministry, keep working on that bus route. What's the use? Ye shall find it after many days. Ye shall find it after many days. You know, there's some people in this church. Be honest with you. It took a while, but you came back on that ship. The seed sat on the surface until one day the Holy Spirit of God punctured your heart soil. And what used to hustle past you now resides in you. And it's producing fruit. Hear me now. Fruit that remains. I said that remains. I won't have that kind of investment. In the lives of people, I really want that. That's one thing I love pastoring, to develop people. You travel on the road many years, and you preach, you go to another church, preach, go to another church, preach, go to another church. Tell me all the time. You preach, you get up, you leave the people there, and you go home. And your pastor, you leave the church, you take the people home with you. We take you home. We may put you in the garage, but we take you. We take you. Last Sunday we had youth day. I had all those boys in my youth group at one time. Some of them come since. Some of them have come to the youth group since. But I've had at least, I'm not taking credit for their preaching. I'm just taking joy out of the fact God used me to contribute to their lives. Amen. Thou shalt find it. Maybe after a lot of scoldings, a lot of sit down somewhere, a lot of be quiet, a lot of get off my nerves, all those things. But it's worth it when he's standing behind the pulpit. Preach. I was in teen class last Sunday. Heard Pete preach a message Sunday morning. Phenomenal. Outstanding. You were there. Your teenagers were there. It was phenomenal. You know what I thought about? How many times I was going to kill him. I thought this ship, whatever ship I had invested, and put stuff on, I thought it went down with the Titanic. But it traveled all the way down through the Bahamas and up through the island. It came on back. Came on back. I'm excited about that. By the way, when he was there, we were trying to get Lewis to come to church. Lewis teaches our kids Taekwondo. I tried to get him to come. He kept promising me. How many times you promised me to come? More than you can remember. Pastor, can I have your card? Lewis, I gave you 10 cards. The church has not moved since you got the last same card. Finally came. He came and Pete grabbed hold of him. Started investing. Pete got up and left. Mark grabbed hold of him. Now they're serving on the bus ministry together. The ship came back. It's worth the investment. Money, time, resources. It's worth the investment. I got a call from a pastor 2 weeks ago. A text from a pastor 2 weeks ago. And a picture text. It was Troy standing in his pulpit on a Sunday morning preaching the sermon. He walked into church the week before and shared his testimony. The pastor said, preach next Sunday. I know the pastor. I've preached at a church. I said, Troy, I didn't even know you were near him. Preaching. They've been on visitation with him. He had 11 teammates led to the Lord in his hotel room. They're running Bible studies at the Comfort Suites in Lehigh Valley. Where is Lehigh Valley? That's the point. We don't even know where it is. People are getting saved there. I've talked to players on the team. They got on the phone. Thank me for sending him. Of course, I said, thank the church for their investment in my life. Tell them all thank you. God is bearing fruit. He comes back. I'd come to church 5 days a week. Just walk through the K-3 classroom and look at KJ. I'd just come to church and walk downstairs and look at 15 seconds. Stirs my heart. I got a call from a guy I poured a lot into. He said, I quit my job. He said, it's a bad environment. I hear too much stuff that I don't need to hear. See too much stuff that I don't need to say. He said, quit. He said, oh, no, I'm going to make it. He said, when I quit my job the other day and I thought, how am I going to make it? He said, first thing came to my mind is that young man who used to take travel with you, KJ. The way he trusted God. He said, his testimony is working on me 5 years later. Another guy said, I was in the barbershop the other day and one of these guys, KJ, used to be friends with, was giving him a hard time about his life now that he's changed. And the guy said, I seen God change his life. KJ didn't have to say anything. I spoke up for him. A year and a half, we traveled around this country.
I remember one night he came back in from the room. I said, we're going to dinner. I'm tired of going to dinner with preachers. All they do is that get in my business. I said, where are you going? We argued for about 30 minutes. I won. You gonna go eat with this preacher. You need the investment. You need to rub shoulders. Rub shoulders with all them thugs. You gonna rub shoulders with preachers. Even if they are in your business. And they were nosy, but you know, praise God. Couple months later, we got in the con on an October evening in West Palm Beach. And this old non-emotional guy traveling with me got in the car. I said, what? You homesick? I got to preach. I got to preach. I said, preach then. God called me to preach. Hey, listen. Throw it on the water. The bread's coming back. It's coming back. And it comes back multiplied. Because now everybody he invests in is fruit to my account. It's just multiplying. 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 Don Austin said, you ought to hear that boy preach in the jail. Good night. What's a year and a half compared to somebody building the kingdom of God? Cast out bread. And I go around this auditorium. Nan Tolbert was in Giant Food Store. And let somebody go in line in front of her. And as she let somebody go in line in front of her, she noticed that the man was deaf. She didn't know sign language, but she had a track. She pulled the track out. And she pointed to the part that says, all services include child care and interpretation for deaf and hearing impaired. The man said, wow. She showed him the address. He found out it was a mile from his house. They were driving to Glen Arden or somewhere out there for church every Sunday. And church was in our church at Leesburg Plain. They walked in church the next week and kept coming. I visited them, watched them grow, baptized them. They joined the church. Now they're serving in the church. That man was teaching 25 church members yesterday in this church how to sign the gospel. This is bread. I can't sign. Can you point to all services include child care? He got more out of a speaking and hearing person pointing than he got out of interpreter signing. Change his life. On and on and on. Load up the ship. Our family has, my wife, we've just decided, we're just going to put it all in the ship. Store it all out. Some days we reach the throw and don't have, and you don't even have anything to reach. We just practice the motion. What you doing? Ain't nothing coming out. No, but when God puts something in there, at least I'll be throwing. Some days I'm so tired it hurts to do this. I just think back to the ships coming in the dock. The plants growing out the ground. And God gives me enough strength and inspiration from reminiscence. Thank everybody in here for helping me. Helping me learn that it works. Thank you. I'm looking for some more. Can we all start thinking like that? Only let's consider it.
we come back from Easter, I want to talk to you about a new way of visitation around here. What kind of visitation? Visitation that caters to broadcasting. God has helped me with a more effective way to get everybody in this church casting bread. When I present it, there'll be no Christian, no truly born-again Christian who will be comfortable with not being involved. Now, there'll be a whole bunch of them won't get involved. It's just the way it is. But if they're really saved, they won't be comfortable about it. Now, while people are going to hell, and with kids are sitting at home on Sunday trying to get to church, we need to do better. We need to do more. I hope we will. Our Father, I pray you help us.